You know, there was a bumper sticker on a car that you see them in town sometimes or see them around when you guys drive. Anybody ever see bumper stickers anymore? It's not just bumper stickers. It's like half a sticker album on people's cars, you know, how many dogs, cats, kids they have, everything. But it said this on the back of the car: create the world you want to see. Now, understand this. In one sense, God is the one who creates the world we live in. We know that. The world that you live in, God creates it. But on the other hand, we have something to say about the world that we live in. Let me say that again to you. In one sense, God is the one who creates the world that we live in. But on the other hand, we have something to say about the world we live in. It is God's power that creates what does not exist. But it takes our words of faith to release God's power. See, God's power creates things that don't exist. But if we don't say anything, there's no power released. That's why, you know, one of the things that you've noticed about Mattoon is it's starting to prosper. And you say, well, why is that happening? Because there was words of faith that have been spoken for years at Life Point Church over this community and the surrounding communities that prosperity was coming. And we would declare it and release words and release faith that things were turning around in this community. Brother Lonnie and I, years ago when we were here at prayer, we would pray for the mall. Now, when Lonnie and I prayed for the mall, if we went by what we saw, we would declare it was dead. But Lonnie and I declared life over that mall. And I remember declaring life over that and people laughing about the mall. Well, it's dead. It's dying. And Lonnie and I are saying, life is coming to Mattoon. Prosperity is coming to Mattoon. Well, what people didn't realize was God was working. It was just behind the scenes. And what people didn't understand was God was setting things up to where Rule King would come in and buy everything. And Rule King would turn things around. And all the things would start to develop. And they'd start bringing businesses in. See, we believed, we had faith, but we used words of faith to release it so that God could create something that wasn't there. So when the mall looked dead, God said, there's two men. Now, I know there might have been more, but I know Lonnie and I were believing that are declaring my word over that mall, and I'll do according to what they say because that's my word coming out of their mouth. So we said, prosperity's coming. So when people said, you got a Starbucks, I said, yeah, because I prayed that thing in. You got a donut shop, yeah, because I prayed one in. You say, what's next on the list? Steakhouses. We need more steakhouses. Come on now, I'm calling them in. I'm like, if we got Starbucks, I'm good. I can get my donuts in the morning, but I want a juicy steak, and I want more than one place. I'm like, I need some more places to eat my steak. And so, I mean, yeah, Miss Judy's already declared. She's saying, just release this. Here we go. But what we have to do is this. We have to take our words of faith to release God's power. Now, look at this. God has instructed us to speak the words of faith to create the kind of world that we want to live in. Look over in Revelation 1:6. We're going to go all the way to the end of the book here. Revelation 1:6. And let's see what God says about this. Revelation 1:6. And he has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He has made us, what? Kings and priests. Now, how many of you guys know that when a king rules a kingdom, what does he do? He decrees. He says what to do, and people do it. He declares what needs to happen, and it happens. When you're a king, back in the day when you had kings, and you had people in authority like that, they would declare something. They would decree it. So, you know, a king might decree that they pay a certain tax. Well, how many of you know? Then you pay tax. If a king says, this is what we're going to do, and he decrees it, then that's basically saying, so be it. Well, what happens is, as children of God, we are kings. We are sons and daughters of the Most. That's how he sees us. We are kings and priests. We are children of the Most High God. We're in the lineage of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And what happens is when we see ourselves as children of the Most High God, the King of Kings, then we say this: when I decree something, it will happen. Because why? Because he watches over his word to perform it. See, we have to, as believers, we have to change our position. We have to change how we see our position. Let me say it that way. You have to change how you see yourself. Because too many times believers see themselves here, and really we're seated here. The Bible says you've been seated in heavenly places with him. The Bible says right there in Revelations, he has made us kings and priests. So how many of you know if you see yourself in that position, it changes it from a warm or below or defeated? See, that's why as a believer, when we say something, all of heaven listens to what we say. Let that sink in for a moment. So when you say something and you decree God's word, heaven listens. So when I say, I go forth from this place and the angels of God encamp around about me and watch over me and no weapon formed against me will prosper, how many of you know what happens right there? The angels go, we got to go hang out with him. Because why? Because I've said it. You know, your words can literally create the world you live in because you have the power to do it. Now, you understand the world you live in. We're talking about where you're at right now. Are you really happy with where you are? Are you happy with things? Because here's the thing. The world that you live in, you can change it with what you say. You can have a world full of love. You can have a world full of peace, full of healing, full of joy. How many of you guys know your words have power? You know, if you say something long enough, you'll believe it. But if you say something long enough, your world around you will conform to that. Here's something very interesting. I don't know if you guys know this. They did a science experiment, and there's a certain name for it. I don't know the scientist's name off the top of my head. But you can take, I think it's like, I'm trying to remember what it is. If it's like a potato, I think it's a potato. But there's this, you could take a potato or something, you put it in a bag, and you could take two bags. And basically, one of the things that you can do is a Chinese individual, if I remember right, that came to the conclusion of this. You could take one bag, it's actually, I think it's a plant you can do it too. But one, you can speak life over it, speak words of encouragement. You take that and you speak life. So you're like, you're a good plant, or, you know, I don't know. You're a good potato. You're a beautiful potato. You're the best potato in the world. Whatever you speak to a potato or plant, I don't know. But you speak that to it, and then you take another one and you speak bad over it. You're dumb. You're stupid. You'll never produce. And they said, the scientists have shown, and this individual proved, that if you do that within 2 weeks' time, one will flourish and the one you spoke bad over will die. So that tells you right there, there's power in what we say. So, you know, the world, we can have a world of love because we can speak love. You can have a world full of peace if you speak peace. You can have a world full of joy, healing, whatever you want in the world that you live in, you can speak that into existence. So you might say, well, where does it talk about it in the Bible? Well, I'm glad you asked because we're going to talk about it. Look over here. Let's talk about Abraham for a second. Abraham, number one, Abraham patterned his life after God. Abraham, how many of you guys know, is the father of all who believe in God, and he's our example. Abraham did a couple of things. Number one, he believed by faith. Number two, he spoke by faith. Number three, he acted in faith. Number four, he lived by faith. And number five, he received by faith. Abraham did something amazing. You know what he did? He acted like the God he served. So he did some things. He believed by faith. He spoke by faith. He acted in faith. He lived by faith. He received by faith. Abraham patterned his life after God. How many of you guys know God is a God of faith? So he called those things that did not exist into existence as though they did. That's what Abraham did. He believed in the impossible. Abraham actually used his faith to release God's power to create the world that he wanted to see. You say, well, what did he do? Well, you remember what God did with Abraham? What did he tell him? Your name is no longer Abram, it is now Abraham. You're no longer this, you are now a father of many nations. You're a father of many nations. He said, you will have children and you will have seed. How many of you guys know you better believe what God said? When God tells you you're going to be the father of many and you don't have one child, that's going to take some faith. But not only that, he was well past the time of having kids. So there's more faith. And not only that, here's Abraham past the time of childbearing. His wife was, but now God's changing his name. And then God says, here we go. Go outside and look at the sand and look at the sky at night. That's how many your kids are going to be. I don't know about you, but in my head, I would have been like, okay, I mean, I see it, but like what? Like how? But he believed that what's impossible with men was possible with God. He believed that what God said was true. He acted. He patterned his life after the God he served. He created a world of living with God. He created a blessed world for him to live in. How many of you guys know the Bible says Abraham in the Old Testament was rich? But it says something even better. It says he was very rich. He had so much that him and Lot had to split up. You remember? Because they had so much stuff. Well, how did he get there? Because he believed. He created the world that he wanted to live in with his words. The same thing that God did. What did God do in Genesis 1? God said, and there was. God said, and there was. God said, and there was. So Abraham did that. He created a world for his children to live in. He created a world with children for him. So the amazing thing is Abraham patterned his life after God. So as believers, we ought to say, if he's our example, the father of faith, then maybe we ought to pattern our life after our God, which was Abraham's God. Well, how did God do it? He spoke. God speaks. Amen? And when you say something, like we said at the beginning, that releases things. There's power in your words, but it's got to be faith-filled words. Amen? So you might say, well, I want a world of peace. Okay, well, what are you saying? Okay, so I'm going to say something here. And if you want to stone me after service, I'll be in the parking lot. Okay, wives, I love you dearly, but I'm just going to say this to you to encourage you, because I'm coming to the husband's side in a second here, so don't worry. Because the wives are like, well, why don't you talk about the husband? No, I'm going to talk about the husband, so don't you worry. But wives, if you're not pleased with how your husband is, my question for you is, what world are you creating for him to live in? With your words. Husbands, if we're not happy with how the wives and the world that we're living with our wives, what are we saying about our wives? My wife and I, we work really hard at this. Now, are we perfect? No. But we work really hard at creating an environment of love. We work really hard with saying the right things to each other. Peace. We say it. Now, here's something that my wife is really good at. I'll tell you something my wife is good at that I have to work on. I like to just call what it is, it is. When I see something, I'm like, I just call it. Sometimes I put my foot in my mouth. Sometimes I have to ask God for forgiveness. A lot of times I do. But my wife will see potential somewhere and call that before she sees it. So she sees potential in me. So like with me, for example, she will say, well, you know, you're a man of God, and you love God, and you love your family. Well, how many of you know sometimes I might say I love God, but I might not be acting very lovely? Call those things to be not as though they are. But what is my wife doing? With her word, she's creating the world that we live in. But she's creating the world that she lives in. So if I want to change some things, I need to pattern my life after God, pattern it like Abraham did, and say, well, how did God do this thing? See, it's not foreign to him. It's how he works. It's how he operates. So when we start saying things, so that's why, you know, like Life Point Church, we declare over you that you're prosperous. We declare over you that you're healed. We declare over you that the people are coming that are going to be a blessing in your life, that everywhere you go, you're prosperous. We declare those things over your life. But some of you might say, but I'm not blessed right now. But we declare things that may not be not as God sees them, as he sees them. He sees you blessed. He sees you prosperous. So we call it forth. And we say, Life Point Church is rich. You know, let me tell you something. I'll tell you, can I tell you something that happened recently? This happened last night, actually. Remember that prayer meeting Lonnie and I went to? So Lonnie and I went to this prayer meeting, and I told you guys about it. Long story short, I prayed for some people. That's the summary of it. But there's more to it than that, but that's just the real dense version, condensed. But anyway, when I was praying, there was an individual there that I knew that the Lord told me to say some things to this girl. And so I did it. I just did it, like I did today. I just said, okay, we're going to step out and do it. Here we go. So I said some things. She said to me, that bore witness with me. So I was like, okay, at least I got it somewhat right. Praise the Lord. God is faithful. And so I haven't talked to her for, gosh, it's been a little over a month, almost 2 months, maybe, I don't know, a month or a month and a half, somewhere around there. So anyway, I said some things to her at that prayer meeting, and so last night I saw her, and she was talking to me. And she said, you know, man, that word you gave me was so, she's still holding on to that word. And she said, I'm believing that that's coming to pass. So she told me some things to believe with her for that's coming up, and I said, we'll put our faith, we'll believe with you for that, definitely. But she said, you know, you said to me, and I don't even remember saying this, y'all, but I said it. She said, you said to me that I was rich. And how many of you know I was saying it because God said to me, call her rich. So I did it. Now, I didn't know her financial situation. I didn't know her bank account. I didn't know nothing about her. I just said, you're rich. You're prosperous. I mean, something along those lines. And that's all I said. So she said, I grabbed a hold of that. And I was like, well, good. And she said, the craziest thing happened. I said, okay, crazy. What happened? She said, I went to church one day, and a person walked up to me and said, God told me to give you some money, and they gave me $500. I said, glory to God. And she said, I'm rich. And I said, I got it. Well, pray for me. I'm joking. And so she said, I came to church the next week, and another random person came up to me, gave me $500. I was like, glory to God. And she said, I came to church the following week, and a person I didn't even know, random, not connected to anybody else in the group previous, walked up and gave me $500. She said, in 3 weeks, I got $1,500. She said, I'm rich. I was like, yeah, you be rich. What happened? Called things forth that as though they were. Even though it didn't seem like it, we said, God said you're rich. And she grabbed a hold of that, and God has been moving in her life. She was telling me some things, and I was like, you're stepping into some things. Why? She's creating the world that she wants. She wants to be prosperous so she can do things for God's kingdom. So what did she do? She started saying to herself, I'm prosperous. I'm rich. He's taking care of me. I'm increasing. And what happened? All of a sudden, things just started getting released in her life. So the world you want to live in, you have to be honest with yourself and ask yourself, are you happy? If you're not, then realize this. God wants you to live in his world. He wants you to live in his world. So we pattern our life just like Abraham did after God. And we say, well, if Abraham did, I'm going to do it because Abraham's the father of faith. But not only that, we understand that God wants you to live in his world. Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world. Well, we don't need to be conformed to this world. We can be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Don't conform your life to the world around you. Instead, discover the world God wants for you in his word. You know the word of God will show you his world? How many of you know when you read the word, you see things and you go, man, like, that's amazing. Like, when you read the word, you see God prospering people and God doing amazing things in people's lives. Well, that's the world God wants you to live in. He's showing you, giving you a glimpse of it so that you'll build your faith up, but so that it will encourage you to start saying things in line with God's word. Now, how many of you looked around and thought to yourself, this isn't the world I want to live in. Like, I'm not happy with where I'm at. Anybody ever been there? Anybody there this morning? You're looking at yourself going, he told me to look at my world, but I ain't very happy right now. Well, there's things that try to dictate how we live. There's a couple of things. Number one, circumstances. You have a financial crisis, it wants to dictate a world of poverty to you. You have physical symptoms that want to dictate that you live in a world of sickness and disease. You have economic factors that want to dictate that you'll never have a prosperous world. You have crime and violence that want to dictate that you live in an unsafe and dangerous world. Circumstances will try to do that to you. How many of you know this? People around you will tell you what kind of world you can live in. Anybody ever have that? People around you will tell you. So circumstances will do it, but people will. Your relatives. Don't you love it when we talk about relatives at church? Your relatives tell you that you can't live in a prosperous world. Your family will tell you you won't make a world, or you won't make it in the world of education. If you're a teacher, they'll tell you, or whatever you're doing with your job, your family will tell you you can't do it. Financial people will shake their head and tell you that you'll not live in a prosperous world. Medical people will predict a future of living in a world of sickness and disease. Your friends want to keep you in their world that they have decided to live in. Listen to that statement right there. Your friends will try to keep you in their world that they have decided to live in. You ever notice that? Friends will try to keep you in their world. Circumstances will. Your own thinking will. I mean, your thinking will put a lid on what kind of world you want to live in. Thoughts of fear will hold you captive. Thoughts of insecurity, unforgiveness, poverty, lack. These kind of thoughts will put a lid on your ability to enter into the world that God wants for us. So one of the things you have to realize is people will try to get you to come to their world. How many of you know that's sometimes their world's not where I want to live? I always tell my wife, sometimes like when we go to things, I'll usually say this to her. If somebody's not where I'm at in the faith, in the area of faith, or they're kind of I call them a Debbie Downer. You know what a Debbie Downer is? They just pull you down. But one of the things that I tell my wife is, we got to have more of us than there are of them if we go there. Do you know what I mean by that? If you go to a family gathering and everybody in your family is shooting you down with faith and telling you that you're crazy and you're never going to be prosperous, you're never going to be healed, you might want to grab 5 or 6 friends that are crazy enough to believe God and take them with you. Why? So that you can combat what they're telling you. Because I tell my wife, if there's 5 of us and 2 of them, greater is he that is with us than he that is with them. Well, a lot of times we go into things like that by ourselves, and it's us versus them. So it's you verse 20. Well, it's a hard battle, you verse 20. Even though God's in you, it can discourage you and frustrate you. So sometimes that's why, that's sometimes when, if I take Brother Lonnie with me, I'll grab him and say, hey, come with me someplace. It's because I need a person of faith with me. I say, hey, you want to come with me to this event? Why? Because I want him to come with me, because 2 of us is better than just 1 of me. So, sometimes the world you're living in, you got to realize there's things trying to dictate the world that you live in. Circumstances, your family, your own thought patterns. These are all things we have to change if we want to change the world we live in. So here's something I want you to think on for this week. Don't be content with whatever world you find yourself in. Don't be content with it. Renew your mind to the will of God so you can discover the world that God has planned for you. So don't be content with it. Look at what can change in the world that you live in right now. Don't be content. So, if you say, Pastor, I'm just not happy with the world. Let's change our thought process on it. Let's change the words that we're saying. Let's change what we're thinking on. Let's get into God's word and find out what he says about peace. And let's release those words in that situation. Let's release those words into our world so we can create a world of peace. I think of it this way. Scripture says you're in this world, but you're not of this world. Because, you know, a lot of times people are like, well, you know, you're telling me if I speak peace, I'm going to change the whole world? No, I'm talking about your world. Your world around you, your people around you, your job, your family, that's your world. I like to think of it this way. I don't know if you guys remember. Most of us are old enough to remember this. Remember the biodome? Remember that thing where people went and lived in it? It was like a world out in the middle of Arizona. It was like this biodome thing, and they had different regions they could live in, the desert and the rainforest and the ocean, and they went out there to live. Well, they had a separate world. They were in a separate world, even though they were in this world. They were living in a whole other world. And it was like that bubble was their bubble. They could, you know, produce crops and do whatever they wanted to do in there. And it didn't affect us. It just affected them. And so as believers, you could think of yourself, your world, your bubble, your world. What do you want to change in your world? If there's something you want to change, find out what God's word says. Don't be content with where you are. Don't be content. Like, well, everything in my world's good. Well, what else do you want to see in your world? Well, maybe you want to increase more. Maybe you want more peace. Maybe you want to have, you know, maybe there's something else. Look at your world and say, what else can I do? And then find out what God's word says on it and start declaring that. Start renewing your mind to God's word. Start to see things the way that he sees them. Remember, his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. He sees things a little differently. So what we can do is then we can start declaring that word over our life and over the world that we live in, and things will start to change. Now understand this. You find out something you want to change. You start working on it this week. You look at it. You start getting scripture. Understand this. Just because you do it for three times does not mean the whole world around you changes in three confessions. Okay? Because, I mean, I wish it was that way, because if it was, like, we'd just be like, Lord, I'm prosperous, Lord, I'm prosperous, Lord, I'm prosperous. Woo, Jesus, I'm prosperous. Like, it takes time. But here's something I've learned, and I heard somebody talk about it this week. I thought, oh, that's so good. They said this. If you'll do something 15 minutes a day, every day for the rest of your life, you'll be better at it than 95% of the world. And he said, it's not about how long you do it, it's about being consistent. And I thought, that's what believers need, consistency. So I'm telling you that to tell you this. It's not about, you know, doing it for 5 hours a day. Do it for 10 minutes. Get into the word, quote the word, speak the word. Do it. Just be consistent with it. Stay with it. Amen. Every day, just stay with it. When you get up, sometimes what you might want to do, when you get up in the morning, start declaring that word over your environment. Start declaring that word over what you want to change. If you're an afternoon person, do it in the afternoon. If you're an evening person, do it in the evening. But at least once a day, start saying it and start declaring what you want to see in the world you live in, what you want to change with your words. And watch what happens. Come on now. How many of you guys know things will happen? Now, it will take some time. We're going to look next week. I still got more to preach. I'm not even done on this. Creating the world that we want to see or that we want to live in. But, you know, you start saying that. Now, I will tell you, I'm going to say this again, and you can meet me out in the parking lot. But, wives, you got to call him what he is according to God's word, not according to what you see. Thank you so much. But husbands, we have to do the same thing. But I do know that sometimes ladies will say, man, it's just hard because my husband is he's a pain. I get it. I understand. Can I be honest with you, though? Can I just be real honest from a husband, a man, to all the ladies in here? Sometimes we don't even know we do it, okay? Like, we don't. We're just, as I laughed, I said there's a thing that behind, sitting by, I think it was like a guy driving a car, and he was all smiling. They said, behind every angry woman is a man who has no idea he did it. Yeah. I was like, I can relate. I've done that. And the guy's singing in the car rejoicing. The wife's looking at him with the death stare. I was like, that's me. I'm like, I didn't even know I did it. But, you know, as wives, we just speak. So, you know, find out what God's word says about your husband. Husbands, Find out what God's word says about your wife and start declaring that. You might say, but pastor, I mean, she's mean to me. Lord, I thank you that my wife is the most loving individual and she yields to the Spirit of God every day. Lord, I thank you that my wife is loving. Even husbands, when your wife says, I'm not feeling very loving today and I'm going to tell you a piece of my mind. Lord, it's okay. I thank you, Lord, that my wife is very loving. Because what I have found out is if you do that, it changes the world you live in. And what it does is, you know what something amazing it does? It takes what's in them that's good and pulls that out of them and lets go of what's bad. See, that's the thing. So my wife always calls me up higher than where I am. She always will tell me, and I'll be like, you know, I just da-da-da-da. And she'll say, you're not that, you're this. Well, what's she doing? She's creating that world to where she can build me up. So find out what it is. If it's a spouse, if it's a situation with a spouse, if it's finances, whatever you're believing God for, where you say, man, I'm not content with that. Number one, do like Abraham. He patterned his life after God. Amen. And then number two, find out that the world that God wants you to live in. Just get into his word and allow that word to become real to you, to where you start to see the world that God wants you to have. You start to see peace. You start to see joy. You start to see health and healing and all of that. You start to see things differently, and it'll build your faith up. Amen? Now, next week, we're going to go over this again, but I got one more point and some more things we need to talk about, but we're going to be continue talking about creating the world that we want to live in. Amen? Did you get anything from it?